the battle of the two downtrodden Midwestern.
Right, Rust Belt, terrible.
Beat the shit out of every year team. This is the Black Market Toast podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number 47, and when this was going to be the Halloween episode, we were going to do the Horde, but my throat felt like shit last week, and now it's after Halloween, and the fucking Cubs won the World Series, so we're going to do Game 7 of the World Series, or the whole World Series, or the postseason. We're doing baseball, okay? We're doing baseball. We're doing the baseball.
Because that shit just happened.
It did.
I mean...
And fucking social media blew the fuck up.
Well, I mean...
I don't usually see that much.
Right, no. No, no. And it's... And I'm not really sure. I mean, I guess... You can't really gauge 2004 and the Red Sox winning social media-wise.
But 2004? I always think 2003 for some reason.
Okay. No. No. Aaron bleeping Boone happened in 2003.
Oh. I'm happy with that, then. Okay.
Yeah. But no, and I mean, because, I mean, social media was kind of in its infancy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it was in its toddler stage. Like, it was just kind of... Facebook was around. Just
stumbling around and yelling at people for no reason. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was MySpace. Yeah. Facebook was kind of a new thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so, you didn't really get that same kind of, you know...
Well, I mean, you get... Twitter explosions from the NBA finals and stuff like that.
Right,
but I was seeing like I was seeing it from people that, you know, I'm not a sports fan, but holy shit, the Cubs, you know?
Yeah. And I have, and I think you do too, like I have Cub fan friends.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
People that have just been lifelong Cub fans and, you know.
Or they, so they say in the last 2 weeks.
No,
I know there are some. Yeah.
I mean, they've been lifelong Cub fans. They've kind of just accepted the fact that we always suck, but it's okay. You know, they got on the lovable loser bandwagon.
I've got a couple of lifelong Indian fans who have the same impression of their team.
And that was the crazy thing about it. I mean, this wasn't two traditional powerhouses.
No, it was
going
the battle of the two downtrodden Midwestern.
Right, Rust Belt, terrible.
Beat the shit out of every year teams.
Right, except the Indians, not really. I mean, they had a few bad years, but really from like 95 forward, the Indians have been pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean.
But they're consistently, you know, they're pretty good, but they're consistently just outside of the playoffs, you
right?
Know, because of the Detroits and the other teams in their division,
Kansas City,
yeah, yeah.
Chicago White Sox have won a World Series. Like
somebody always barely knocks them out,
right? Like their entire division, I think, has won the World Series in the past, you know, 10, 15 years.
Yeah,
White Sox, Tigers, Royals, except the Twins.
Yeah, the Twins and. You know, until recently, the Twins were a powerhouse in
that
division.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, the Indians were always seen as the little stepchildren of that division.
Right.
You know, and
I mean, I still can't believe that team didn't win a World Series in the 90s.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Because they had some phenomenal... I mean, that team was loaded with Hall of Famers and really good players, and they just... To me, they were better than this team and just couldn't get over the top.
Well, that's the thing that... Everybody was grasping on the Cubs narrative, but this Indians team, they two of their three ace pitchers were gone from like May.
Yeah.
Their all-star left fielder gone for the season. You know, he played like 10 games.
Yeah.
And this team put together pieces of just shit. That they just kind of threw together, and Mike Napoli at first base as the clubhouse guy who kind of gelled everybody together.
Right, and I thought Napoli's career was over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when he left Boston, he was done. Mm-hmm. He was hitting like 215. He couldn't hit for power anymore. Like, he was just, he was done.
And then like, Roberto Perez, who everybody saw as kind of a 4A catcher.
Yeah, phenomenal defense.
You know, Yan Gomes got hurt. And
yeah. Yan Gomes, who, by the way, was an all-star last year, hit over 300, you know.
Roberto Perez comes up, and his pitch framing is stellar, and it helps this ragtag pitching staff become more than they could have been without him.
Yeah, that pitching staff, I mean, by the time, you know, the playoffs came around, was one Cy Young pitcher and some guys.
But, you know, Trevor Bauer has the pedigree to be a top-flight guy. You know, Arizona gave up on him, but he was a first round pick. So I mean, they have people, and apparently their bullpen is deeper than the Cubs bullpen because the Cubs didn't want to use more than one guy.
No, and I mean that was the funny thing, like the dichotomy of the series, because the Indians only wanted to use three starters.
Well, yeah.
They were going to try to make three starters last in the entire World Series.
And
the Cubs were going to try to make two relievers.
Basically,
they played
one
Montgomery
reliever.
And Chapman.
Well,
that was it.
They had Edwards. Edwards pitched one out game six and the 10th inning on game seven.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they had Edwards. But, yeah, they didn't want to use anybody but Chapman.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Indians had Shaw, Miller, and Allen.
Right, who were just phenomenal relievers.
And their go-to was bring in Miller and see how long he lasts, and then, you know, and then Allen the rest of the way.
Right,
But we have Shaw if we need him.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, and I mean, Miller is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish Boston would have never given up on him, but he was a failed starter. You know, Boston originally moved him to the bullpen.
Right.
And then that, you know, kind of.
Well, he came up in the Marlins system originally, didn't he?
Yeah.
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 They gave up on him first.
Yeah. I forget which trade that was, but he came over to Boston. And then they kind of stuck him in the bullpen. It sort of worked out. It kind of didn't. Then he moved to the Yankees and was dynamite.
You know, if it's the Marlins and the Red Sox, just say Hanley Ramirez trade. And there's probably a Hanley Ramirez trade involved.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
One of the two or three times. Swap him around. Hey, he's back now. He's great.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Until you trade him to the Marlins.
Yeah, right. Who wants to play in Miami? It's muggy.
It's very warm in the summer.
It's very warm all year long.
Yeah, and I mean, Joe Maddon did great things with a great pitching staff in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
With a few mid-level relievers, but without that stud guy that he relied on.
Right.
And having that stud guy almost worked to his detriment, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, he always leaned on him too much.
I mean, I don't know why he pulled Hendrick.
I don't either. You know, because we had talked about it last night. I'm okay with bringing in Lester, but let Hendricks finish the inning. Let Lester start an inning with a clean slate and pitch.
When they pulled Hendricks out, he had only allowed one earned run. And they had a four run lead.
Yeah.
So why are you pulling your starter? You know, let your starter get you five or six innings. That's what you do all year. Why are you changing?
You know, it was almost like he had a script in his mind.
Yeah.
Because he started warming Lester up in the third.
Yeah.
It's like he had a script in his mind. I'm going to go exactly this far, and I'm going to do exactly this. And it almost got him.
But Hendricks has been their best pitcher all year. Stick with what got
NL
you there.
NLDRA leader. Go for it.
Yeah.
Let him do his thing.
What the fuck? So, going into this series, everybody was all Chicago, Chicago, Chicago. And I was like, Have you been paying any attention to what the Indians have been doing on the other side?
No.
And nobody had.
Because
and
they did it in complete anonymity. Like, I knew the Indians had made the playoffs because my team was playing them.
Yeah.
So I was like, we'll see.
Because there was no story in any of the series they were in because they just fucking cleaned.
Yeah.
You know, they just wiped it out.
Yeah.
So it was four games and done. There was no story.
No drama.
No drama. It was done. And
the Red Sox got one game off of them
mm-hmm.
to keep from getting swept, but that was it.
And everybody was, you know, crowning the Cubs when they made the World Series. I'm like, they got a chance, but this other team is pretty good too.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, and Cleveland has the famous fans, and they've got, you know, they've got the Bill Murray and Eddie Vedder and John Cusack and
Chicago, not Cleveland
or Chicago. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Chicago's got the famous fans.
They were all in Cleveland last night. They were all
But yeah, so I mean, you know, they've got that, and everybody loves Bill Murray. He's kind of a a cultural cult figure anyway. You know, so it is. I mean, everybody. Of course, the narrative's going to be the Cubs.
Yeah.
You know, but Cleveland doesn't have any famous fans. They have Drew Carey. And I think LeBron became a Cleveland Indians fan, like, because during game one of the World Series. Because last I had ever seen him, he always wore a Yankees hat.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know what? He's not a fan.
There you go. Yeah, but, I mean, in the underdog World Series, Cleveland almost became the underdog.
Yeah.
You know, to the underdog.
Yeah, they were the dark horse underdog.
It's like, Oh, we're not as downtrodden as them, so, you know, they get to win. Yeah. Some of those narratives just didn't quite work for me.
But, God, I think the ratings are through the roof for World Series. Well, this has been the best thing for baseball ever.
I mean, I was going back in my mind last night trying to think of the last World Series that was that compelling and that competitive at the same time. And I'm going back to, like, Phillies Blue Jays, maybe A's Giants in 89.
Diamondbacks World Series where that went seven and Luis Gonzalez walked it off of the hit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the chilling freaking bloody sock thing.
Yeah, but that was in the ALCS.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that was that was probably the closest baseball moment to that.
Yeah.
But when you and
that's been 12 years.
Right. Well, because I watch 4 Days in October every October. And I usually wait. Whenever the Red Sox are eliminated from the playoffs, I watch 4 Days in October to make myself feel better.
When you're shaving your playoff beard. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 4 Days in October, for anybody listening that doesn't know, is it a ESPN documentary talking about the Red Sox 2004 World Series run. But more importantly, their comeback against the Yankees. Because, you know, they were down 3-0, and then they made these comebacks. And, I mean, the Game 4 comeback and the Game 5 comeback were both close.
Yeah.
Game 6 wasn't that close. Game 7 was a blowout.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it was one of those things, like, even that series wasn't quite as competitive. Because the Yankees blew the Red Sox out a couple times. The Red Sox blew the Yankees out.
And then the momentum shifted, and boom.
Right. And there were a couple close games in the middle that, you know, were won. But, yeah, I mean, this game, just every game was tight. Yeah. Every game was, you know.
And it ended up going into freaking overtime with a rain delay. And
right,
it just, God.
Yeah, it's like Cosmic Karma said, nope, I gave you guys exactly enough time to play 9 innings. You couldn't decide it? Fine. Rain.
Well, apparently there was a guy who posted in 2014, he posted freaking 2016 World Series, Cubs, Indians, goes to extra innings and the world ends, #apocalypse. And that was, he posted that in like 2014, and everybody's retweeting it during the game, and as it keeps going, it's like, oh my God, are we heading towards this? We cannot declare a winner because then the world will end. But the world's going
to
end. So,
to be fair, Election Day is next Tuesday. So.
Yeah, yeah.
It may just be a prelude to the apocalypse.
There is that. Yeah, yeah.
But
we have broken the second seal because, you know, Boston broke the first one in 2004.
Right, right. And we just kept breaking it. Over and over.
Yeah, you know, once it's broken, it's broken. You can't re-break the seal.
But yeah. No, I mean, this was just a great World Series. And I mean, we're both baseball fans, but we both didn't have a horse in this race.
No, no.
But we were both absolutely compelled by it.
Yes.
It was great. It is what sports was about, is about.
Well, it's like everybody knows somebody that's the downtrodden Cubs fan, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of what... Between that and... The Cavs coming back and winning the NBA championship led to it as well, because then you had the reverse 3-1 memes,
right.
You know?
Right, and I mean, the whole like running joke in Cleveland since the NBA finals was, oh, 3-1, 3-1. Well, guess what?
And they went up 3-1.
And like, now
no!
They got beat. Yeah. This is what it feels like. No, this is terrible.
I'm sorry, guys. This is what we did to you.
Yeah, this is what that kick in the nards feels like. It's so terrible. We'll never make fun of you again, Golden State.
And meanwhile, the Browns.
The Browns. They suck.
Yeah.
Their best quarterback plays wide receiver.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and that's what they have.
The Browns are garbage. But yeah, you're already having, you know, ESPN say this was the greatest game ever. And maybe, I could see,
the series was phenomenal.
It was one of the best series ever.
The games weren't necessarily tight, but, you know, they weren't huge blowouts.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, you had Chicago, you know, put a little bit of distance between them and Cleveland in games 5 and 6. But, yeah, that game 7, and people were writing it off, you know, when it was 5-1 early on, they're like, "Oh, the Cubs are going to win." I'm like, "Hold on,
because
their top reliever's kind of gassed because they've used the shit out of him in games 5 and 6, which there's no reason he should have been in game 6.
He should not have been in game 6.
Because they were up by 5 runs.
They were up 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, he shouldn't have pitched then.
Yeah, they should have saved him for a freaking high leverage situation.
Right.
Which would have been game 7, and he would have had more in him, and they wouldn't have had to go to extra innings.
But
maybe.
Then, yeah. But I don't think that the world was going to allow that to happen. Like, you just had to give the Cubs fans that one more heart attack.
You had to add that drama in there.
Yeah, you just the scriptwriters had to just throw that extra drama in there.
Well, thankfully, David Ross kind of throwing it away didn't lose the game.
That's what, you know, yeah. I was watching this game.
I
was watching this game with a friend of mine from back home. And, you know, that's what me and her were talking about was both of the guys that made big errors in the game hit home runs.
Yeah.
Because Baez had that terrible bare hand. Well, he made the throwing error. And then the bare-handed error.
Non-catch.
Non-catch at second. And then he comes back and smacks one over the fence. Ross has one bounce off his face.
So it's the ultimate redemption story.
Yeah, he bounces one off his face in his final game ever.
Yeah.
And then he decides, you know what? I'm David Ross. I'm a legend.
I'm going to hit a fucking home run.
I'm going to hit a home run. Yeah. But I'm not going to just barely get one over the wall and left or right. I'm going to tag it directly over the center field wall.
I'm going to try for a Schwarber shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And indeed he did.
Yeah.
And David Ross, I just thought, you know, because he's retiring at the end of the year and everybody knew it. I thought it was going to be David Ortiz that had, like, the great Game 7 home run World Series moment. Because he's David Ortiz. This is what he does.
His final year. And this is his final year. Yeah.
And he's been hitting home runs all year.
Yeah.
Damn near hit 40. But, you know, turns out it was not him. He had a pretty quiet championship series. He got knocked out by the Indians. But it's little David Ross, who I think wanted to hit, what was it like? He wanted to hit, like, 9 home runs this year so he could have a nice even 100 for his career.
Something like that, yeah.
David Ortiz hit like 570, but he wants a nice even hundo for the career. He hits the game 7 home run.
Yeah, thankfully he wasn't the GOAT in his final game.
Because
I saw that error and I'm like, no. You got Lester who can't throw to first base.
I felt bad for him too because
on that play, Lester refused to come off the mound, which is why Ross had to go get it in the first place.
Right.
So, yeah, it was a perfect storm for something bad if...
Right, I don't know if he'd have gotten all the blame for that. Because, you know, if you don't bounce it 2 feet in front of home plate, it doesn't hit you in the face. You know, and to be fair, he's got his glove turned up because you're taught as a catcher, anything low, you turn the glove up to try to scoop. You know, so he can't get an upturned glove all the way up to his mouth.
Well, and then do you hold on to it or do you make the wild throw? That's
right.
Yeah, he didn't really have a play at first base.
No, but that adrenaline gets going, man.
Yeah.
Try to be a hero.
I know. Also, Schwarber didn't play all freaking year. And what did he hit, like 500 or some shit as a DH?
He hit an obscene amount. And stole the base.
Yeah. He's not authorized to play the field, but
But it was great because they used it exactly to their advantage. They knew, like, the Indians knew Schwarber couldn't run. The Cubs knew the Indians knew Schwarber couldn't run. So, like, he just meandered away from first base, and nobody was paying him any attention. And so by the time the ball got to home plate, he was just standing there at second, like, hey, I'm over here.
It's like when you rob a bank, you drive away nonchalantly. You don't peel out of there.
Yeah.
You're just like, da, da, da. Nobody pays you any attention.
Yeah. He stole the base, like, the same way I've seen, like, David Ortiz and Albert Pujols steal bases, the fact that nobody pays them any attention.
Pujols steals 10 a year that
I know,
way.
He does. It's great. Because, like, you know, we'll be playing fantasy baseball.
Get over there.
And I have Pujols, and I'll go, hey, I got a stolen base. Albert Pujols. How did you steal a base? And that's what he does.
Nonchalantly.
He just meanders away from first base and just goes.
And he's just there.
Whoa. And no one's going to tell him not to. He's like, Albert Pujols. Fuck it. I've hit like a million home runs. I do what I want.
I do what I want. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We're the Angels. Screw it. But no, it's... Yeah, I was really glad that, you know, there wasn't a goat in this game.
Yeah. I mean, there was plenty of opportunity for...
Oh, God,
you
know, yes.
There were muffed up plays, but the...
Yeah, it wasn't the...
The overall narratives ended up being the offense instead of the defense.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, and I mean, there's always room for second guessing. Is starting Kluber on 3 days rest twice in a row the best idea? Should you have...
Yeah.
Met?
I mean... Yeah.
Well, I mean
that's what they had.
Wasn't Salazar back, though?
He wasn't... They weren't going to use him for more than two or three innings.
Well, if you're going to do Kluber, then maybe you say, okay, we'll give Kluber three or four. You bring in Salazar for a couple. You bring in Danny Santana for a couple. And then
Kluber
you...
gave up five in the first three, didn't he?
No. Well, no, because it was technically the four plus.
Oh, okay.
Because he didn't get an out in the last, like, I think once they hit that second home run off, they just took him out. But, I mean, still.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they kept him in long.
Right.
I mean, so, who knows?
Yeah. Either way.
Hindsight and...
But to me, either way, I think even in losing this great World Series, Terry Francona, that's his Hall of Fame ticket. Like, well, he got two franchises.
To the World Series.
Yeah. Yeah. He's won two. And, you know, and then he got a second team there all the way to game seven, all the way to extra innings. They're like, Hall of Fame voting will never hold this loss against him.
I mean, if they can just keep from imploding next year, they should have an easy ticket back.
Well, you know, we said the same thing about the Royals.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, dude, that bullpen, you know, that lineup, you know, they're definitely going to come back. It's not guaranteed.
Yeah.
It's really not. It's like, to me, the World Series is one of the hardest places to get to in sports.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've got Miller for two more years. They've got Salazar and Carrasco coming back next year. They got Brantley, in theory, coming back next year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to have a much better lineup and pitching staff than they had for most of this season. So,
But
how does it work out? Yeah.
Right. I mean,
you have
baseball.
To play the games. Yeah.
Right. And I mean, you could be Kyle Hendricks, who was a fringe starter. Like, he came into the season as like fifth starter slash gonna go be a long reliever guy, and he leads the National League in ERA because it's baseball.
You could be Jake Arrieta, who the Orioles gave up on and traded over, who led the ERA the league in ERA last year.
Right. And so, you know, started the year like gangbusters, he kind of fell apart in the second half of the year. You know, so I mean, it's one of those things. Baseball's such a finicky thing, and like the difference between having it and losing it to me seems as thin as in any sport.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
which is crazy, and
it can be for pitching and hitting.
And again, they might not even, you know, make it to the wild card out of that division because division is
the Royals are going to be good. Yeah. The Tigers still have great players. I mean, the Twins are coming up. It's the White Sox are terrible
because every year. All the other teams in that division are going to try to build up their team to match what your team was this year.
Right.
So,
right. And I mean, getting to the wild card is also no guarantee because the Red Sox are good. The Blue Jays are good.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees are going to be good. The Orioles are good. You know, there's...
Yeah, the Yankees are going to go through a resurgence here once they get a year or two under their belt with these young players.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're actually home growing for once.
Yeah, for the first time since Jeter and Rivera, and they decided to have a dynasty in the 90s.
Posada.
And that whole Bernie Williams, that whole group came through in like a 6-year period. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's baseball. I'm excited for next season.
Yeah.
It is one of those things that, you know, there's a lot of intrigue there because you do never know who's going to be good. I mean, you have a general idea who's going to be good. I mean, the Cubs are going to win games.
Mm-hmm.
They can stumble into about 90 wins next year. But do they win 100 again? Do they, you know, have a drop off?
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not.
Do they lose Lester after this year?
I think
Lackey goes away.
Lackey goes away.
Do they have, I think maybe they have one more with
they
Lester.
They have one or two more years of Lester. Yeah. Because they signed him, I thought that sounded like a 4-year deal.
Yeah.
Because Red Sox said we won't sign him to a 4-year deal, which is stupid. Because then they went and gave David Price the exact same amount of money that Lester wanted.
Which seemed like a safer deal for them. Just given his track record and the fact that he can throw to first base.
Yes. But postseason ERA. Yeah, postseason ERA though. John Lester has it. David Price does not.
Yeah, well, the regular season ERA didn't do too well this year.
No,
so.
It didn't.
But
fortunately, we had Rick Porcell.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully the Sox get you some pitching.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Meanwhile, my A's will be trading away our prospects for some middle-aged person.
Yeah.
Which
Danny Valencia.
Yeah, which, you know, used to work back when we were targeting the right people, I guess.
Yeah.
But Sonny Gray had a bad down year, and that really hurt. So
yeah.
Hopefully our young pitching will, Sean Manaea and Cotton and a couple others coming up. So maybe we'll have a Mulder Hudson
Zito type thing.
And rightfully refuse to sign Zito to a 10-year deal and just ship him across the bay.
Where he was hot garbage for the rest of his career.
No. He was hot garbage for 7 years and then came out of the bullpen was a good starter for 1 year and then came out of the bullpen the next year and did well. And, you know, we don't know where any of that came from. But,
no.
Yeah, he did have a good year and a half there for the Giants. So.
Yeah. Hey, he's won a couple World Series now.
Mm-hmm. And Hudson's a fringe Hall of Famer at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was. I mean, it's up in the air if he'll get in. Mulder got hurt, or he, you know, he was the best of the three.
He was.
So.
Yeah. Super nice guy. He's actually the only one of the three I've ever met. I waited on him at a Carrabba's in North Charleston. Like, he was there with his family. Because even when, like, you stay at Kiowa, like, we're the closest Carrabba's, so.
So there you go.
Yeah, he came in with his family. Super nice guy. Left me a nice tip.
Nice. Tips are good.
When I know you make that kind of money, yes. He also signed, like, I got him to sign, like, a piece of paper for me, like, quietly as they were leaving. I was like, I don't want to do this for any family. Do you mind signing this for me?
Hey, can you, A, sign your check, and B, sign this random sheet of paper next to it?
Right. And he did, because, like, nobody made a big deal about him being there or whatever, you know, we just treated him.
It's like, I know people. Who you are.
Yeah, I was
sign
like,
this.
I didn't want to say anything, but I'm a big fan of yours.
Let you. Family do their thing.
Right.
Do you have an idea for next time? Or
No, because this completely threw me off.
Okay.
I didn't even think about it.
I'll go ahead and pick for next time.
Yeah,
then.
Go for it.
Let's do The Last Dragon.
The Last Dragon.
Have you not seen The Last Dragon?
I haven't seen The Last Dragon.
Okay, you'll have to pay $3 to rent it on Amazon.
Well,
but
I will once my bank account unfreezes.
Yeah. Oh, well. Lovely.
Somebody hacked into my PayPal and sent themselves $30,000.
What?
I did not have $30,000.
Good thing they didn't do that with mine, because they would have been sorely disappointed.
Well, they were sorely disappointed in mine, too. But that didn't stop my bank from going, oh, that ain't good.
That ain't good. Shut it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting
karate chop.
I'm waiting on my bank and PayPal to figure out how to not try to take $30,000 out of my bank account.
You'll enjoy The Last Dragon,
right.
and we'll discuss it next
time. Is this
time.
A kung fu movie?
It's a kung fu. We'll watch it and we'll discuss it. It's amazing.
All right. Last Dragon it is.
And I am at Woodle on the Twitter and the Instagram, and you are.
I'm the Joe you know on Twitter. I'm that Joe you know on Instagram.
There you go.
I'll say that with 50% certainty.
Yes, yes. We will flip a coin next time and see if we come up with the same answers.
Yep.
And we will talk at y'all next time. This has been a Southern Geek Podcast.